we go. Are you writing? It's good. 9 out of 10 dentists recommend that you write to the Tom and Curly Show to vent your spleen. Sherry can't wait to find out what letter of the day is, and I'm sure there's lots of curious queries about who's this woman again? You read that thing too fast. Here comes the wooden wagon. It's being one horse. Sean asked you to put a thing on Craigslist to get a horse. Have you done that? Because we can't just have one horse.
Yeah, I did put up an ad requesting one slightly used horse.
Okay, you didn't have to put in slightly used. People, I mean, what's that make that? Most horses,
it's
going to be like a virgin horse that's never done anything. What'd you say, Sherry? Go ahead.
I mean, aren't horses mostly slightly used? That was a bad sentence.
Hey, man, I'm a board op, okay? And I get put on the spot, Sherry. I don't know you. You don't know me. But we can make this work.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Wow.
It is important for Sean to hurt me, and I don't know why.
Hey, listen. Here comes the teen tiny.
Normally, when we're out there in the summer or the fall or something, I'm used to shouting, hey, bear.
Hello!
It was dead of winter. I didn't think to do that this time. So I got in there and sat down on the toilet seat.
It doesn't smell. In fact, it doesn't smell at all.
And something just immediately bit me in the butt. So I jumped up and screamed.
Diving in the bed! Oh, yes! Yes, they are writing. And there is a teeny tiny lady being placed on the bar stool right there behind Jacob. She's waving. I see a teeny, and she's going to pound on that little glass with a teeny tiny little balled-up fist and choose the letter of the day. So there's a statue. How big is this statue, Sherry?
It's not a big statue. It was a statue that was on somebody's chimney, or I guess around their chimney. But enough people noticed it that it became a big problem.
And then at that point, Gary Horker from Cairo 7 said, I'm going out to Puyallup to check this out.
Puyallup is known to be adorned with lively statue art around Pioneer Park. But a blatantly racist statue displayed on the chimney of a home on a busy street near the state fairgrounds recently provoked outrage and a citywide movement. Now, we're not showing you the whole small statue, which depicts a 19th century racial stereotype of an African American. Off camera, the statue's owner told us he took it down when he was asked to and he feels bad about it. But Professor Davida Sharp Haygood told us it made the rest of her city feel worse.
That statue was kind of like, okay, can we talk now?
Davida founded a group called United Against Fear, which is now getting membership and traction from thousands of supporters. She said the statue provoked so much anger, it kickstarted a racial equity movement into a whole new gear.
It's the first time that you'll see where citizens were like, no, not in our city.
The city of Puyallup sent this letter to everyone who complained about the statue, saying it condemned the message, but it was protected by the First Amendment. Davida pointed out this part of Pierce County has a long history with extremist hate and the KKK. This photo was taken in Pierce County 7 decades ago, but Davida says now racism is less obvious.
Everyone comes off as nice. And there's a lot of microaggression, a lot of passive-aggressive racism. We were like, did I just feel what I just felt? Did that just happen? And it's not that very blatant in your face.
So now Davida is leading a movement. This weekend, signs will be given out promoting racial equity and diversity, encouraging the city to found a commission to enforce it.
We actually have roses that...
Wait. They're founding a commission to enforce racial equity?
Equality and diversity.
Oh, it's going to enforce equality and diversity. Okay, the government is going to come in and enforce equality.
Or donate it by Safeway in downtown Puyallup.
720 roses will be given out to the people who display the signs.
They're putting their neck out there. They're taking a stance. And so, understanding that they're taking a stance, we have to show them we appreciate them.
Okay, so I guess if you don't have the sign, then you are for discrimination, you are for microaggressions, you are for not so blatant racism, but more subtle racism, apparently. And they're giving out 700 signs. So if you don't have the sign, I guess you're for all the horrible stuff in the world, right?
Well, I think what she's saying is that they're encouraging people to display the signs so it can spread the word, and that this really kind of energized a lot of people to get involved and to try to do this. That's why they're giving out roses to everybody that that will display a sign. They're trying to get people to be aware of this and trying to get them to form this commission to help with equality and with diversity.
There is no such thing as equality.
Well, I think they're trying to work toward more equitable treatment and things like that.
Okay, fine, but you have it. You mean to compare prior to July 2nd, 1964, you could not serve. You could decide, I'm not serving you. And you know what? Why don't you take you and your white wife and get out of here? I'm not going to have you stay in the hotel. And you're not allowed, and I'm going to do. You can't do this, can't do that. And you know what? Your school's over there, and the good school's over here. Those were the laws. And then the government and the ink was dry, and they said, you can't do that anymore. I mean, now a white person can say something about a black person and could lose their job. There's entire corporations that have huge sort of divisions that are all always looking to make sure that there's no discrimination. I mean, we are so focused on discrimination that to compare anything in the last, say, 2 years to anything that has happened in the last 75 years. So, yes, the KKK was around in the 1930s. Yeah. I mean, we had a president of the United States, Woodrow Wilson. We even had Roosevelt put a guy from the KKK, the Grand Wizard, on the Supreme Court. So, yeah, but you know what? That's not the case. And now if people believe that there's microaggressions against them, or that something might have happened, or did I perceive this to happen or not to happen, and you're going to assume that it's racist, you're going to assume that the person's treating you this way or talking to you this way, they might just be talking to that way because they just might be a jerk, or they might just not like you. But to all of a sudden get the government involved to try to enforce equality doesn't exist anywhere other than the fact that the law treats everyone equally. That's what you want, and that's what I believe we have. People are going to say, oh, that's not true, the systemic racism. I got into a back and forth with a listener the other day who sent me a long list of all these examples. And I said, fine, those are examples of differences. That doesn't mean that is because of racism that those differences occur. The firstborn in a family has a higher IQ than the secondborn. Twins have lower IQs than a firstborn or secondborn. Is that fair? You can't even have equality within a family. How are you going to have equality within society? You want to make sure everybody steps up the line, does the best they can, and off they go. Everybody gets a fair, straight shot to start with. But you want equality of outcome or equality of opportunity?
I think what they're trying to say here is that, yes, while there has been a tremendous amount of progress, that when you see things like this statue, it's apparent that there's still a long way to go. There are still things that need to be done to get into the purview of a lot of people. Perhaps this guy didn't realize he had this statue, but the idea that someone could still display a statue like that in 2021 is offensive to people, and therefore they believe probably that there is progress to be made.
Okay. Total population of the town of Puyallup, just to look it up, just to see. So there's a statue. The statue was connected to his chimney, so it wasn't exactly, the display on it. It wasn't like he had it right out there in the front yard. Plus, here's the other part of it. If you want to be a jerk, I can't find the population of Puyallup on my phone right now. If you want to be a jerk, you can be a jerk. If you want to be a racist, you can be a racist. But if you try to take that racism and put it into action and stop somebody from coming into your business or treating somebody differently or whatever, but you can be a jerk. You can't have laws against jerks. You can have laws against actions that affect somebody's ability to have a peaceful life, to get a job, to get service at any type of business, right? But if that guy wants to have that statue up there, I don't know if it's endemic of everybody in Puyallup or a large portion of people. It's not like to go around and stand around this guy's statue that's connected to the top of his chimney and people are worshiping it every weekend, right? This is a small people using this as an opportunity to get the people of Puyallup to put somebody in the city council or to enforce laws. I just think is a mistake, and if only anything, it just makes people more uncomfortable. But that's me.
Right. Well, but apparently, according to this article, and according to the good professor who we just heard, she said that the statue itself provoked so much anger that it started this racial equity movement, and that's the whole thing. So, evidently, you know, whether or not this was meant, the guy was a jerk or the guy's a racist or whatever, this is what set it into action, and now they're to have a commission set up so people can look into things like this, I suppose.
40,000 people live in Puyallup. So there we go. There's the statue. They took that one down. They pulled down Abraham Lincoln, or they pulled down George Washington, and now they pulled down that one off of the guy's chimney. Dolly Parton will never have to worry about this because the little town there in Tennessee wants to remove, I assume, a Confederate soldier or somebody that they don't want. So then they've said to Dolly, we are going to do a statue for you. And what was Dolly's response?
Dolly's response was unbelievable. She said, I'm honored and humbled by their intention, but I have asked the leaders of the state legislature to remove remove the bill from any and all consideration. Given that all that's going on in the world, I don't think putting me on a pedestal is appropriate at this time. She said later on, if she dies or something, if it's still up for grabs, then she might accept it. But right now, she doesn't want it. She also turned down two offers to receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom. So she is a really humble woman. I know. And she said that if she gets offered it again, that she'll turn it down again because she doesn't want anybody to think she's playing favorites with Biden over Trump, because Trump was the one that offered it to her twice.
Oh, okay. She is modest in the sense that, besides, how many people that you know would want to have a statue? While you're still living, they put a statue up and then you stand there and look at it and they unveil it. I mean, I know Rocky's got one on the top of the steps at the Philadelphia Art Museum, which, by the way, people at the Philadelphia Art Museum are like, I'm an artist. I can't believe there's this statue of Rocky out front. But they have it there because everyone's used to running up the steps and jumping around like Rocky. But it would be, I think, uncomfortable to make it, because the statue never quite looks like you, and then you have to stand there.
No, it's like wax museum figures. You know, they're never quite right. I don't know why anybody would go to a wax museum anyway. But I mean, the whole idea of having a statue of you, I think, would be weird. But I there are a lot of celebrities that would go for it.
Yeah, you'd have to do the thing. I think there have been a couple times where they unveil it and then they pull the cover off the thing and the celebrity's standing there and it's an uncomfortable look because they realize, wow, that looks nothing like me. Oh, I know. He's a famous Jacob, help me out here. He's a famous soccer player.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yes. And the statue was like, people are like, what did was the artist working from another room, yelling the instructions to someone who has never worked with clay before? How does it turn out like that? And I think they had to take it down, melt it down, and do it again. And they asked Ronaldo what he thought of it. And he's apparently like a really, really good-looking guy and not so happy with it. So maybe Dolly Parton avoiding it altogether. I'll share my one Dolly Parton story. Name dropper that I am, Sherry. I lived in New York City temporarily as I was living with an older gal, and it was my job to sort of just run errands, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. I guess. Sounds okay. Run errands?
Run into the bedroom.
Oh. Nice work if you can get it.
Yes. Anyway. Like Sean.
An older gal?
About 25 years older than I was.
25 years older. So, okay. So she was your sugar mama.
No. I was known in the business as a Tuesday boy.
And did you get paid for this?
Let me say this. I went to 14 years of a Catholic school. And I had not really had many relationships with women. So I just figured this is the way it is when you move to New York City. You find an older gal, and when you move into her apartment, all of the clothes that she wants you to wear are already there, and they fit you. and there's shoes that fit you. And apparently that's just because those are the types of guys she goes for. And I ended up, I didn't know. I had no idea that I was sort of in this weird kind of New York thing. Sean, is that the shortest cut you have for uncomfortable music about? Anyway,
you didn't know that? Did you have a television set? Did you? I mean, how did you not know that? How did you think that was okay? How did you think that was not weird?
Jacob, help me out.
I have no idea. I tried to Google Tuesday Boy. Nobody knows what that is talking about. None of this story makes any more sense to me than Sherry, I think. How does this even, what does it have to do with Dolly Parton?
I'm going to get to it. Let me ask my dad.
Hey, you like chocolate? They like vanilla. You like summer? They like winter. Okay? You know,
what about old ladies, Dad?
You get okay. My point?
No. Okay, I'll save the story about Dolly Parton then. She was in the same building I lived in.
So you
she
had
was
lived
in the
in
same
a
building.
Really nice building.
Oh. 64th and 5th overlook or 68th and 5th overlooking Central Park.
I got to know how this ended, because there's a story there, I'm sure.
Oh, I've told the story, and then people write in and then make fun of me, and then it becomes like a big thing, and they write letters, and then Larry in accounting gets all weird and oogie, and then Sean plays gross, like, porn music. It normally ends with me being humiliated. But
that's
Sean
the ending part?
Short. That's where it always ends up. I've told the story one other time, and then I asked Jacob for support, and he always goes, I can't Google anything.
John, do you know anyone else that might be in need of a sugar baby?
No, I don't know. Why?
They're called Tuesday boys. Tuesday boys, John.
Yeah, I want to be a Tuesday boy every Friday night if I can.
Okay, all right. All right, see what happens? Sure, I will talk about Dolly Parton. I'll explain the other part later. Okay. Alrighty, write to us at MyNorthwest.com to text as well. That's a cigarette text line, 98973. I'll finish the story. This is not, let me say right now, I've told the story one other time, and it's not a highlight in my life. I'm not proud of this, and a lot of it was naivete, Sherry, and you can question me on the other side of it. So here it goes real quick. I go to New York City. I meet this woman on New Year's Eve. She says, I've really enjoyed looking at you all evening. At this point, I used to be good looking. I was 21. I didn't have all these weird wrinkles in my neck. Okay. And she says, she leaves me her phone number and leaves me the address. And I turn to my friend Matt and I said, geez, what should I do? And this is before all this HIV and AIDS and herpes and everything else. He goes, go, crazy wild times in New York. So I jumped in a cab. I went up to town to Fifth Avenue. I spent the night, and then she said, what are you doing tomorrow? I said, well, I drive a truck. Well, can I give you a list of stuff that I need you to pick up for me? I said, sure. So I went to the dry cleaning, got a half pound of hamburger. I came back. I gave her the money back. She goes, oh, I said, here's the change. She goes, oh, you can keep it. And then stay for dinner. So I stayed for dinner. And then the next day, same thing. I was do the truck thing. And then I did errands for her. And then eventually the amount of money was being like... Like the change, where there was more change, there was like less. Can you pick me up a pack of gum? Sure. You can keep the $98.42. You can keep that. And then I'm thinking, why am I driving a truck? You could pick up gum for a dollar, and it's faster. And then eventually, I was living with her, and then I went to a party, and after about like 10 months or 12 months. And I'm at this party, and she said, did you meet Sarah? And I said, yes. She goes, do you like her? I said, well, she's like, seems like a nice lady. Good, I want you to go home with her. I said, oh, whoa, go home with her. What do you mean? Does she mean you pick up gum? And she's like, no, you can go home with her. And I said, I'm not going home with her. She goes, if you don't go home with her, don't bother coming home. And I had a drink in my hand, and she walked out, and I turned to this other guy, and I said, God, the weirdest thing just happened. It's like something out of like the Twilight Zone. So-and-so, I won't say her name on the air, she just said, go home with Sarah. And he goes, yeah, well, that's what do you think? You're like a Tuesday boy. That's what you do. And I was like, well, wait, I'm not. I'm dating. She goes, you're not dating. When you moved in, were there clothes that fit you? Yes. All the same size. 40 regular. Shoes that fit. Yes. Why do you think she had a whole closet full of men's clothes? She picks the same guys every single time, the same type of guys like you. And that's what she's done. So you're not dating her. You work for her. And then that's when I found out that that's what the relationship was.
Okay. I have one very important question. Was she attractive?
Okay. When you say attractive. Yes.
Because if very you attractive. Say no, if you say no.
Yeah.
If you say yes, she was very attractive, then I can sort of see where this, you know, could develop. If you say
she
no,
was
then you have
well
an ulterior
off.
Motive.
As my dad would say, she was well preserved. She was very well off. So she great hair, great makeup, great clothes, in great shape, in a beautiful apartment overlooking Central Park. And I went home at 2:30 in the morning. I knock at the door, and Roberto is at the door, and he's like, "Mr. Curley, I can't let you in." I said, "Why not?" "Because Miss won't let you in." I said, "Why? What do you mean?" She said, "If you come, you're not allowed in." I said, "Roberto, it's me." I mean, I hung around these guys because I had nothing to do all day. I'm like, "Let me in, just let me in." He goes, "I can't let you in." And that was it. And then in the morning, I said to her, "Where's all my stuff?" She goes, "Oh, all of your stuff? You mean nothing?" I didn't have anything. It was all hers. Oh, you want the gum back?
So, no more change keeping.
Anyway, yeah. You know what? Why don't you get your own dry cleaning from now on? I'm going to be sleeping out here on this park bench in front of your condo.
Where did you go?
I got back on the bus and went back to Philadelphia. But hold on.
Jolene.
Her name was Jolene. No, I'm only kidding. Dolly Parton lived three floors above us. And one day I got on the elevator and there's Dolly Parton in like a super duper tight jumpsuit, jean jumpsuit. And she's spilling out of the front of it. And as the doors closed, it was beautiful burled walnut door on this beautiful condominium, and someone had written the F word across the door, and a big scratched it in, and she said, "Did you do that?" And I said, "No, I didn't do that." She goes, "Are you sure you didn't do that? Because I have a wall in my apartment. I need someone to do some type of art on that wall." And I went, "Well, as a matter of fact, yes, I did do that, and you caught me." And she goes, "I knew I could catch you. You didn't do that." And I said, "No." She goes, "I still have that wall that I need to get done. I got to do something on that wall." And with that, I was like, "Okay, well, bye." And I got off the elevator. And up she went, three floors up. That was my big Dolly Parton. No, she flirted with everybody. No. She flirted with everybody. But, you know, maybe Roberto down in the lobby told her, you know, "That guy knows how to get gum."
I was going to say, if you had played your cards right, you could have just moved three floors up with Miss Parton. You know, you should have just gone back. I would have knocked on that door later that night and said, "Miss Parton, do you remember me? I'm the artist that you met in the elevator. I was wondering if I could get to work on that. I have some clothes downstairs we could bring up."
By the way, ended up talking to someone that knew the woman that I lived with for 18 months. And
wait, it went from 10 months to 18 months. So it's 18 months now?
Altogether, at the time, moving out of the apartment, the 10th month. I guess it's probably, maybe it's 10 months altogether. Maybe it's 18 months altogether living there. Embarrassing.
It was 6 years.
You know, they talk about it. Ay, ay, ay. Here's the last part of it. Sad, weird story. Ready? Stop singing about Jolene. The woman's father cheated on the mother continuously. And the mom developed a serious drinking problem and ended up, sad ending to the story, ended up dying. Suicide. The daughter was very close to the mother and hated what the father did and blamed the father. The woman I was living with, then really saw men and had a horrible impression of men and would just treat them terribly. And she would find men about my age, 22 to 24 in there, and just use them like an employee. And I guess in a way, just mess them up mentally. And that was, that was the world I was in for a little while.
Wow, so there she was a predator.
I don't know. Is that what that was back then?
I think she groomed you. Yeah, you were her little experiment.
And I told that story once, and my kids knew it. And when we went to New York, like, where did the lady live, Dad? Show us what bench you slept on. I'm like, guys, you know what? This is not a story Dad wants to relive with you, okay? Was it that place or that place? I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, I cleaned it up for them. They were older. You know, I wasn't like, you know, I can give them a lot of details.
It's a little impressive, I have to tell you, that you were able to navigate all of this, find a really great place to live, a cool wardrobe, and, hang out with Dolly Parton. Not bad.
Great clothes. I was the only person sleeping out in Central Park on a bench in an Armani suit. I think that probably still goes. I think the big double-decker red buses that go by in New York City?
Sure.
They probably have it. Okay, folks, if you look to the right, see that bench right there? A man actually stepped on that bench in an Armani suit. All right, everybody, we're moving along further down. That's the Plaza Hotel. Yeah, it'll be part of the tour.
The Tuesday tour.
All right, Tracy Taylor, please.
We are watching
Are you?
All righty, here we go. Teeny Tiny, she around to get the letter of the day in just a second. But first of all, give me like four good notes of that mailman song. Would you, Sean, please? Give me a couple more. I'm still looking for Teeny Tiny. just one more note. I can't find Teeny.
Hello!
Oh. There she is. God, hiding. She's hiding behind the thing. We got the little palm tree in her pickle jar. She likes that. All right, we'll get to the letter of the day, but first let's take care of all the rest. Here we go. That's you, Sherry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, area code 360. After this last November, do we believe in polls anymore?
Rhetorical question. 360. A unicorn with wings is called a alicorn.
Right. Bike helmets. 206. If you don't have a helmet, why don't you just walk in the store and take one, since the cost of a helmet is not even a misdemeanor anymore?
John and Lake Stevens said, Jacob, is this a typo? Because it says the cops will always give you a free gun.
No, well, keep reading.
If you ask for one.
Gun lock.
Gun lock. Okay. At least if you ask for one. And Lake Stevens, they do. But I think you just got to go to the station to pick one up. They gave me one, no hassles. Okay.
Okay. Alan in Tacoma says...
We weren't even talking about that, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. When I grew up, there were no helmets. And of course, when people realized all the head injuries from bicycle accidents, helmets were developed. Are helmets a good thing? Most definitely. Should there be a law that forces you to wear one? I don't believe there should be. We make a law for everything as though we can force what's good for you, and we can't do it on our own.
Wow, he's asking himself questions and answering himself there. We talk about the weather report. 206 says, I was in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, at a wheelchair games, and I had to check in. They gave you a folder of all the events and everything. Then he also explained, if you hear a siren, that you're supposed to go to the basement. Sure enough, a few days later, the siren went off. I busted my butt back into my chair and headed for the basement. Myself and one other guy from Southern California, who had never seen a tornado, were only ones to show up. No one else paid any attention to the sirens. Sorry about that.
This is a Buffalo Bill house. Will every bedroom have a basket with some lotion in it?
Yes. You put the lotion in the welcome basket. Brad the painter says, I'm the guy that text in the trick with the tongue. Oh, that's who did that. I want a piece of Sean's teaching action. Okay.
This is 206. We truly have a sick society. Why do people want to remember such horrid scenes? The barbarism and macabre themes can only serve to desensitize our society and culture. Easy for
yes.
me to say.
Kyle in Olympia says, when we were young, my friend and I would randomly pick out a number in the phone book and call the number. After years of this, we sometimes called a girl named Lacey, not her real name. And she went to the same high school. We talked to her for years, but never bothered to find out who this person was. We just knew that she was walking into the same school halls. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get through the whole thing. And Teeny Tiny has already chosen the other letter.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
There's a horrible echo in that in the pickle jar. Wow, how did that happen? Letter of the day.
Okay, this comes from area code 425. John, when you pass, which I believe will be your second time doing so, if previous news reports are to be believed, I think they should make a statue of you. Not only are you a stand-up, classy guy, but I think they would do a great job making it in your likeness. Once they transfer your hair, teeth, and whatever else you've had replaced into the mold, half the sculptor's work will be done. Now, since we don't know when your actual birthday is, I'm not exactly sure when the dedication should be, but I would suggest that it happen on a Tuesday.
Excellent!
That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
Didn't write no more.
Didn't write no more.
She left the loom a hanging.
Let's do another hour, but let's repeat everything we said. Try to remember, okay, Sherry?
You bet.